The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Gospel of the Lord. I witness it at least once or twice a week. People talking to each other who discover some random connection. "Oh, you're from Boise, Idaho? My sister-in-law grew up there." "You went to XYZ College? I graduated from XYZ College in 1975. My goodness, I didn't know you used to live next to Betty Jean Jones. She's my fourth cousin, six times removed." When I participate in or overhear one of these conversations, I usually can't help myself. I start singing that song. "It's a small world after all." "It's a small world" is thought to be one of the most performed and most translated pieces of music ever produced, mostly because it plays over and over every day at the ride named after it, which you can find at each of the Disney parks around the world. Magic Kingdom in Florida, in Disneyland in California, Tokyo, Paris, and Hong Kong. Both the song, which is about the interconnectedness of people everywhere, and the ride, a 10-minute boat cruise through all seven continents with a cast of animatronic figures dressed in native costumes, singing the song in a host of languages, well, it's all pretty corny. But it really is a small world, isn't it? In mere moments, we learn about an event happening halfway around the globe, a volcanic eruption, a massive wildfire, a Taylor Swift concert. Terrorist attacks are live streamed to millions on Facebook while they are being perpetrated. Over 2 billion people watch the same TikTok video and make it go viral. 2 billion, that's 1/4 of the entire Earth's current population. But as small and supposedly connected as our world is, it's a world we can still feel very alone in. The modern technology which allows us to follow live Twitter feeds, well, that's also the modern technology which tempts us to sit alone for hours late at night on our computers, playing games or surfing the internet. We might very well find long-lost elementary school classmates on Facebook and reach out to say hello. But just last year, the U.S. Surgeon General issued a cautionary statement called "Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation." The document is full of disturbing statistics about how disconnected so many of us feel and the profound effect this is having on our physical and mental health, especially since the COVID-19 pandemic. Loneliness, isolation, the fear of being abandoned, these are realities of human life. And they aren't new realities, something unknown before the 21st century. No, they're something that the people around Jesus also experienced. The words we heard this morning in our gospel reading from John were spoken by Jesus over 2,000 years ago to his disciples on the night of his impending arrest. The disciples had heard a great deal by this point in the evening. Jesus has told them how he will be betrayed, how he will be going to the Father and will be with them only a little longer. We can imagine what Jesus' disciples must have been feeling at this point. How vulnerable they must have felt, how worried about the future after hearing Jesus talk about what was to come. In these last hours of his earthly ministry, Jesus was trying to equip his disciples for the future, a future in which he would no longer be physically present with them. And so he offered his disciples comfort and promise and invitation in the image of a vineyard. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. Now, I realize that word abide seems kind of old-fashioned. It's not a word we use very often in real life. We tend to use stay, as in, why don't you stay with us while you're in town, or stay for dinner. But the word abide shows up 8 times in our reading this morning, 8 times in just 8 verses. And it conveys this sense that this relationship we are offered with Jesus and with his love of abiding in it is meant to be intimate and deep and lasting and steadfast. It is about being connected in a real way to our God, being rooted in the source of all that is. Finding life-giving power in relationship with the one who loves us dearly, making a home there, a dwelling place. After all, where we abide is our abode. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. These words of Jesus to his disciples some 2 millennia ago, these words are also to you and me. They are words that address one of the deepest of our human fears, the fear that God is not here, not with us. The fear that we are ultimately really on our own, the fear that while ours may be a small world, maybe we don't belong anywhere to anyone. The good news for us this day and every day is that we do belong to God and to each other. For we have been joined to the true vine of Christ through baptism by water and the word. Each of us has been connected to the God of love, and nothing can ever separate us from that love. No matter what happens, no matter how cold and harsh the world seems, no matter how isolated and alone we feel, we are never on our own. God continues to be at work through Christ, the true vine, connecting and pruning and shaping us branches. In this wonderful community, this tangled web of branches, this place we belong, has some important work to do. The work of bearing fruit. For we are a community with a purpose. We don't exist for ourselves, but to touch others' lives with the love of Christ. That's why, for instance, folks from First have been collecting donations of food over the past few weeks and will be going to the Salvation Army this afternoon to feed hungry neighbors. That's why our quilters get together every other Tuesday to work fabric scraps and stitches and love into something that will provide comfort to a refugee or a victim of natural disaster. That's why we assemble school kits, host blood drives, welcome AA and other groups into our building, why we pray and sing and give and love over and over, more and more. Abide in Christ. Bear fruit. Be Jesus' disciples. And let's do it with joy and hope. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.